Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, things are heating up, folks. Iran is accusing Israel of looking for war. Can you believe this? Israel, who's always trying to prevent war. But again, this is what our neighbors here in the Middle East do. They deflect. What they do, they say others are doing. Iran is accusing Israel of looking for war. My question is, who's really looking for war? And we're going to be exploring that on the show today. We are going to be having on Aaron Bronstein, who is going to be giving us his take of things. But before I have him on, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant and showing you what's really going on here in the Middle East and how you have to stop the spin. First, you have to see the spin. Then you've got to know how to stop it and go through the spin to see the truth of what's really going on here. Very, very interesting. He says here, the foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif of Iran, he says here, quote, "The chances of war with Israel are great. There are those looking for war," he says, pointing his finger basically and saying, "It's Israel." That's who he says. Those who are looking for war, Israel. That's what he says. Is that true? We're going to find out on this show. And I want to invite you all to join me in the chat room. It is the orange button on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. Join me in the chat room. It's a lot of fun. You can say hi to me. I can say hi to you. And you can write your comments or questions down in the room as well. It's a lot of fun. We have people in from all over the world. And I want to say hi to people who are listening in from everywhere. We have listeners from all over Israel, of course, and the United States, Canada, Austria, Australia, Argentina, United Kingdom. I don't know who you are, but I can see what countries are listening, and it is wonderful to see the world, around the world, listening to Israel News Talk Radio. And again, share the show and share the station with your friends. It's a lot of fun, and you learn a lot. We'll be right back, everybody. And remember, join me in the chat room.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
We're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And it is very, very concerning when you have to live in a world where it's not just doublespeak and it's not just spin, but it's complete deflection, where you have an enemy that operates in a certain way and then puts that on their enemy and says that they're the ones who are doing it. Let me explain to you. We have a situation now where the Iranian foreign minister, if you watch Al Jazeera, you'll see a lot of, it's interesting. I like to watch the other side. I like to see what the other side is saying. Iran's foreign minister was interviewed and he says here that Israel is looking for war. He says the chances of war with Israel are great. That's what he's saying. And he says that there are those looking for war Israel. That's what he says here. Let me read you an article. This one is from Al Jazeera, and they're reporting here that Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, accused Israel of, quote, looking for war, unquote, and warned that its behavior and that of the United States were increasing the chances of a clash in the Middle East. You see, now, Iran is the one that is looking for nuclear weapons, weapons of mass destruction. Iran is the one that has spread its tentacles out of its borders into Syria, is supporting the Hezbollah in Lebanon, is helping to support the Hamas in Gaza, is building bases in Nicaragua against the United States so it can have a nice close shot there if it wants to send off missiles. We are seeing double talk here. We are seeing deflection. It's very interesting. Let me go on and read what it says here. The risk of war is great. The risk will be even greater if you continue to turn a blind eye to severe violations of international law. This is what he was almost crying about. And when I saw him talking, he was almost crying about this. That's what it looked like to me. So let's examine what he's saying here. Zarif said, the foreign minister of Iran said in an address to the Munich Security Conference on Sunday that the risk of war is great. The risk of war will be greater if you continue to turn a blind eye to severe violations of international law. But let's look at this. Israel doesn't talk about war. Iran is. Israel talks about sanctions, stopping Iran from developing nuclear weapons, stopping them from getting weapons of mass destruction. So who's talking about war? Who's even using that word? It's Iran's foreign minister that is talking like this. Saber rattling, purposely trying to incite, and then blaming Israel, and you're going to see who else he blames here. Very interesting. From an article on worldisraelnews.com, Iran's foreign minister, chances of war with Israel are great. This, is, again, was said by the foreign minister of Iran, and this was said at the Munich Peace and Security Conference on the Middle East. He says, quote, there are those looking for war, Israel. Javad said, we're in Syria to fight terror, he says. The violation of Lebanon's airspace and attacks in Syria are a violation of international law, and no one criticizes Israel, but rather us. The danger of war increases when no one refers to Israel. So you see, this is Iran threatening Israel. This is Iran threatening war. He's saying the danger of war increases when no one refers to Israel. So that's all on their side. While Israel always has its hand out for peace, Iran is looking for war. Let's examine what he says, because he has this all backwards. Why? Because he's deflecting. He says here, we're in Syria to fight terror. Is that a true statement? Iran is the sponsor of terrorism and terrorists today. It gives money to the Hezbollah terrorists. It supports, again, the Hamas. It is doing a drug trade in order to help fund their support of terror. All of this is in cahoots together with the terrorists. So when he says we're in Syria to fight terror, this is an outright untruth, or I could even say lie. They are not in Syria to fight terror. They are supporting and funding the terrorists. Then he continues and says the violation of Lebanon's airspace, because he wants people to condemn Israel and say this is why there's going to be war, because they're violating Lebanon's airspace. And my reply to this is, what do you expect? Iran, you are arming the terrorist Hezbollah with rockets and missiles in Lebanon, in Syria, sorry, to hit Israel. And this is not in violation of international law? You're giving them missiles to be able to hit Israeli citizens in Israeli cities to kill man, woman, child, baby? This is not a violation of international law? You are arming terrorists. You are threatening the existence of a fellow member nation in the United Nations. That's you, Iran. You are saying that you're going to wipe Israel off the map. Israel is a member of the United Nations. You, Iran, are a member of the United Nations. You cannot do something like this. You cannot threaten the annihilation of another member UN state, especially one that wants peace. And especially since you are the one who is going against international law. So you, Iran, brought this on to yourself. And when you complain also about attacks in Syria, yes, if your forces and weaponry are in Syria, then you are responsible for your aggression and threat and may be attacked. That's right. Israel might attack you. It would seem to me that it would be Israel's obligation to attack this aggression where you have bled into another country across your border in order to annihilate Israel. So then you might be attacked. That's right. How Iran spins things and twists the truth and presents events out of order is simply a lie to the world. Again, let's look at what he said here. We're in Syria to fight terror. The violation of Lebanon's airspace and attacks in Syria are a violation of international law. And no one criticizes Israel, but rather us. You see, they're the victim now. The danger of war increases when no one refers to Israel. And again, that's Iran talking about war. I'm going to continue with the article here. It says, Iran is feeling the diplomatic heat as a gathering of over 60 nations in Warsaw at a Mideast security conference last week put the finger squarely on Iran as the greatest threat to Mideast peace. The foreign minister, the Iranian foreign minister Zarif's remarks may have been an attempt to redirect attention back to the Arab states' traditional target, Israel. Leaked comments from a closed meeting at the Warsaw conference highlighted the change in attitude of some Arab states. Bahrain's foreign minister, Khalid Al-Khalifa said, quote, we grew up talking about the Palestine-Israel dispute as the most important issue. But then, at a later stage, we saw a bigger challenge. We saw a more toxic one. In fact, the most toxic in our modern history, which came from the Islamic Republic, from Iran. Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran, also reacted to comments by U.S. Vice President Mike Pence, who spoke at the Munich Security Conference after attending the one in Warsaw. Vice President Pence told the press on Air Force Two before reaching Munich on Saturday, quote, we have the regime in Tehran that's breathing out murderous threats with the same vile anti-Semitic hatred that animated the Nazis in Europe, unquote. Zarif denied the comparison of Iran's regime to the Nazis. Well, both wanted to annihilate the Jewish people. Telling Germany's Der Spiegel online, quote, Iran has always supported the Jews. Not true. We are just against Zionists. The Holocaust was a disaster. So he's trying to weasel his way out of this. We are not against the Zionists. We are just against the Zionists, not the Jews. Folks, that's like saying, we're just against the XY chromosome people and not men. Well, folks, they are one and the same. And Jews and Israel or Zionism is also the same thing. You cannot observe all the 613 mitzvot of the Torah and be a Jew without Israel. It's hand in hand. We cannot observe the 613 mitzvot unless we have Israel. That's what a Jew does. More about this when we get back. You feel free to call in and join us on the air. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. We'll be right back, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And our guest now is Aaron Bronstein. Aaron is a former U.S. Foreign Service officer. He has worked in Washington, Egypt, Tunisia, and Muslim West Africa for 30 years as part of the United States Foreign Service. Today, he heads the Jewish Covenant Alliance, and you can visit his website at covenantalliance.org. Welcome to the show, Aaron Bronstein.
Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
If I sound
a little hoarse, it's because I'm just getting over a cold.
Oh. You should have a full speed recovery.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So Iran is saber rattling. They're saying they're doing the opposite. They deflect. What they're doing, they're saying that Israel's doing, and they're saying Israel is looking for war. Israel is the problem. We know that we are the victims, and although they try to say that they're the victims, that Israel is bombing them in Syria, that Israel is violating Lebanon airspace, etc. But all this is because we're defending ourselves from the aggression of Iran. What do
Absolutely.
You say about it?
Well, I tell you, first of all, this brings back memories of 1938 and January 1939. When the Nazis were saying and warning that if the Jews again drive Europe to war, they will pay for it, and it will be the end of Jews in Europe. Of course, he was ever since the 1920s, Yimach Shemo Hitler was blaming the Jews for the stab in the back. It's the same thing. To blame the victim, and especially for Zarif to say that they're only in Syria in order to fight terrorism. The battle against the Sunnis in the Sunni forces in Syria is all but won in terms of territorial control. They still have a lot of fighting power. But no need for Iran to be there. And the question really will become whether Russia will see in its interests in Syria and its interests in the underbelly of Europe to realize that their interests are being jeopardized by the continued military presence of Iran in Syria. So, you know, nothing new under the sun, as has been said many times.
I'd like to read here, if I can, something else that Al Jazeera reported. And they say here that Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, said that the United States Vice President Pence, quote, arrogantly demanded that Europe must join the United States in undermining its own security and breaking its obligations, unquote. And he also slammed Washington as the biggest source of destabilization in the Middle East. Washington. Now he's saying that everything's America's fault, too. The big Satan, right? The little Satan.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, the issue here is that the Ayatollahs are running scared. They see that Israel and the United States are succeeding in dividing Europe over the issue of Iran. You have Germany and France trying to continue sanction relief, trade with Iran for the nuclear deal, and you have much of Eastern Europe, if not all of Eastern Europe, really understanding what's happening in the world and have broken ranks with Germany and France and England in this regard. The fact that the Peace and Security Conference was held in Poland was a major blow to the foreign policy of the EU and the foreign policy of Germany and France. So that's what he's worried about. And when they claim that America and Israel are driving the area to war, I mean, war is taking place on four or five fronts, all instigated by Iran in Yemen,
right?
Yeah, Iraq and Bahrain, in Lebanon. You know, Lebanon could fall tomorrow. But the Hezbollah there, the running dogs of the Iranians, don't want to unmask the beast, to unmask their collusion, their traitorous collusion with Iran. The Hezbollah is traitorous on the Arab front, and the other running dog of the Iranians, Hamas, is traitorous on the Sunni-Shia front. Hamas is Sunni. Iran is Shia. We could talk much about that, but that's an overview of the thing that most scares the Ayatollahs and the Revolutionary Guard, is that the United States under President Trump and Israel under Bibi Netanyahu will undermine Iran's psychological grip on Western Europe.
I want to present something to you also, Aaron, and that is there has been some unclear talk in, on the internet about, now that the United States is pulling, is decided to pull its forces out of Syria, we just saw that Putin invited Turkey and Iran to a meeting. Let me just read from this Al Jazeera article. It says here, following Putin's return to the Kremlin in 2012, he took up a more assertive foreign policy, seeking to secure a seat at the top table of global diplomacy. The effort paid off. Thanks to its military intervention in Syria, Russia has graduated from a bystander to a leading power broker in the Middle East. And it says here also, this is from the Wall Street Journal, Russia's president and his Turkish counterpart discussed Wednesday how to divide up control of northern Syria when U.S. troops leave, highlighting Washington's diminished say in Syrian affairs. The discussions in Moscow between Vladimir Putin and Recep Tayyip Erdogan are a diplomatic minefield because Russia and Turkey stand on opposite sides of the nearly eight-year war in Syria, with Moscow backing the Assad regime and Ankara supporting rebel groups. So they're on opposite sides, but they do agree when they're talking about how to divide up Syria. And that was with Iran as well. Iran is also in Syria, and I'm sure that everybody wants a piece of it. Assad is very weak. He's depending on Russia to keep him alive. And they're looking at Syria as a steak dinner to divide up between themselves.
Absolutely. But each has, as you say correctly, each has different interests. The Turkish interest is primarily not is the Kurdish question. to be sure that there is not a autonomous Kurdish control of northeastern Syria, and they're going to do anything they can, even cooperate with the Soviet, with Russia. Excuse the Freudian slip. I almost said the Soviet Union. To cooperate with Russia in order to achieve its objectives. The Assad regime is weak, but militarily it's now controlling territorially the entire country, except for the areas that are under Iranian control and Turkish control. Of course, there are also areas that are under growing Russian control. So you're right. There is a conflict of interest there, but they're trying to manage it so that each gets its interest covered. Now, the real name of the game, and again, I always go back to the issue of why this Middle East conference was held in, of all places, one would think, in Eastern Europe, in Poland, not just a message to the west of Europe, but also to Russia. You know, we understand your game in the Middle East, Mr. Putin. You're trying to paralyze the West in terms of any more aggression that Moscow may want to undertake vis-a-vis the Baltic states, further into Ukraine, and who knows what else. Intimidation is the name of the game on the from the Kremlin. And therefore, to have held this conference in Warsaw was a major message, not only to the Iranians and their supporters in Western Europe, but also to the Russians. I should say that the issue of Iran is, in my view, not going to be resolved until both the American government and the new government of Israel after the elections come to realize that only a threat to the very existence of Iran itself as an imperial internal empire, you know, only half the population of Iran is Persian, we've talked about that before, and why did they take the name Iran? In order to cover up the fact that the Persians are, ethnic Persians are in control.
So hold that thought, Aaron. We're going to be right back, and we'll take your calls if you'd like to weigh in on the issue. Our number is on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentico, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show, and we are talking about now a new era. That's what U.S. Vice President Mike Pence says. He declares a new era as Netanyahu and Arab leaders meet at the Middle East conference that took place in Warsaw last week. How is it? This is the first time publicly that Israel and Arabs have sat together publicly and in a sense broken bread together in a common enemy, which is Iran. And our guest today is Aaron Bronstein. Again, he is from the covenantalliance.org. He is a U.S. Former U.S. Foreign Service officer, and he has what to weigh in on this. Are we looking indeed at a new era?
Yes, definitely so. But it has to be played very carefully. There's a limit to what even the Arab states most threatened by Iran can do at this stage, or at least in terms of what they feel they can do. They understand more clearly than even a lot of Israelis that the whole issue of Palestina, of the PLO, the Hamas, and Iran having called its Revolutionary Guards unit Il-Quds. They should have called it El-Mecca. The Revolutionary Guards in Iran are trying to dupe the Arab world and the Arab countries, especially those in the Gulf, by the way, the Arabian Gulf, not to say Persian Gulf, all sides, all coasts of the Persian, of the Arabian, of the Gulf are Arab, and they realize that this is all, the issue of Palestine is intended to deflect Arab attention away from the real issue, which is Iranian-Persian imperialism. They're right there on the front line, you know, and they're in a life and death struggle against Iran. The issue really is going to be as to whether diplomacy can persuade the Arab states of the Gulf, including Saudi Arabia, that from a psychological perspective, they need to go on the offensive against the very legitimacy of the Iranian state. As I mentioned, half the population is not Persian. And even the name Iran is a cover for the reality of Persia there. And are they prepared, if America will lead, to go on the offensive psychologically against the existence, the very legitimacy of a unitary Iranian state? Now you say, what? You're going to dismember Iran? Not necessarily. Iran could become a federation or a confederation of all its peoples. There might be a little bit more democracy as a result, but I wouldn't look forward to having democracy in Iran, whether under the Shah or under the Ayatollah.
Why?
For the very reason that if they give the people a true vote and they can set up their own autonomous regions, you have the Azaris and you have the Baluchis and you have the Arabs and you have the Kurds, all under Persian domination. And the Persians, as an ethnic group, are not ready to give that up. Now, if you come and you say, what, you're going to lose the love of the Persian people, the ethnic Persians, 50% of the population, you're going to lose their love, well, maybe it's possible to have either greater love from the Arab states. But they have to decide, together with President Trump, together with Prime Minister Netanyahu, how far all of them are ready to go in psychological warfare against the very legitimacy of the Iranian unitary state. You know, their federal states and their unitary states. That's the big issue today. And so far, the government of Israel has not adopted that approach. And I think it's the only one that can hold out the possibility of victory even without war. That's the key.
You know, I proposed on my Aaron, I proposed on my show yesterday that now is an opportune time, that it seems to me that Iran is very, very vulnerable today, in that there are sanctions against it, in that it has spread its tentacles out perhaps too far. Its own economy is suffering. The people in Iran are suffering. And as you said, Iran is not just Persian Muslims. They are made up of many, many different ethnic groups and different religions. And they're not all united. And there was, in the back about maybe 10 years ago, the People's Revolution, who were begging the West to help them to overthrow the Khomeinis, this extreme Islamic leadership that they had. The West did not do so under the Obama administration and Bush, etc. But you know, it could really be an opportune time to prevent war by helping the people in Iran overthrow this mullah government.
Right. Well, unfortunately, despite three or four uprising in the streets, I don't believe it's going to happen through a popular uprising. It's going to have to be, and this is the reality of the Middle East. You know, I lived in Egypt for 5 years. I lived in Muslim countries for another 10 years, serving several American presidents. And now in Israel, my final destination, my next to final destination, if I'm lucky, to realize that the real name of the game is power, and not wishful thinking. The hope is, as was proved in Egypt with the overthrow of the Muslim Brotherhood by General Assisi, that the hope for Iran and for all the peoples of Iran is in a military takeover against the Revolutionary Guard. And we should have policies together with the United States to do everything to strengthen this may sound crazy, strengthen the army of Iran internally with the proper kind of weaponry, as the only counterforce to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. That's the crux of the problem, how to do that. And there are many ways to do that, but it has to be done within a framework of psychological warfare. No more Persian Gulf, Arabian Gulf. This one has to go out. And you know, if there is to be war, let there be war before the Ayatollahs are ready with their nuclear weapons.
Yeah, amen. This is so important.
And therefore, there is a policy to not to pacify the beast, but to goad the beast, to prick the beast, to get him to act irrationally. Because, of course, the entire plan of Tehran is to break out once they have a nuclear umbrella. And that's the worst thing. The West will be intimidated. The United States will be intimidated. And they're trying to intimidate Israel by placing their own and Hezbollah forces in the north of Israel, Hamas and its forces in the south of Israel. They're working against the Palestinian National Authority, which is representing the state of Palestine. Everybody says there has to be two states. There are already two states. The only difference is one state is fully sovereign, it's called Israel, and the other state is not fully sovereign, and it's called Palestine. It has its own government, it has its own parliament, no elections for over a decade. It has its own judiciary, it has its own security forces, you know, it has its own internal cohesion. The only thing that threatens the state of Palestine, the non-sovereign state of Palestine, is this dispute between the fanatical Islamic way that Hamas is advocating and the radical national approach that the PLO and Fatah are advocating.
Yeah, I think we have to remember that the PLO and the Fatah are a terror organization. They pay terrorists. We just passed a law about taking away money from the Palestinian Authority that they use in order to pay the terrorists who kill our people and to pay their families. Aaron, we've run out of time. I just want to propose here not a one-state solution or a two-state solution. I want to call it the 12-state solution.
Okay.
And that is that the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, need our land back. We need to settle here. We need to be a light into the world. And I call it the 12-state solution. Aaron,
let me just mention in closing, please go to the website. You'll see a map, an ethnographic map of Iran, which everybody is, very few people are talking about. We're probably the only people talking about the internal Persian Empire within the borders of Iran. But you can see an ethnographic map at our website, covenantalliance.org. And I mentioned very quickly, this is Jewish service mission to the nations. This is us to them. And everybody should be very clear about that.
Amen.
This is us to them. You're welcome.
I want to thank you very much, Aaron. Sorry, we just ran out of time. And let this indeed be a new era where we can defeat the enemies, the darkness in the world, and bring light to the world. Thank you so much, Aaron Bronstein, for being with us. Again, covenantalliance.org. You can go visit it. And thank you, everybody, for listening here to the Tomorrow Yellow Show.
Thank you again.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.